Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I have been floored with the influx of views on my Warcraft stuff. Like, I'm not the best player. I literally, my rotation is shit. So the fact that a lot of you like my Warcraft stuff, I mean, cool, thanks. And I hope you come back for it, because this is really just for me to talk about what I want to, and right now, just Warcraft happens to be very prevalent on my mind. So, let's get into the abduction and my thoughts on this armistice bullshit. First things first, let's talk about the Dark Abduction. And if you don't know what that is the abduction of Thrall, Jaina, Bane, and Anduin by Sylvanas, or just any, you know, the ones who got in her way during her full-on attack of the living. So, we all know that this is going to be an opening quest come Shadowlands, but we're all confused about how she got them all. Well, now, Blizzard has released, about 5 days ago, pretty much what went down, and how she slowly went after each one of them. Side note, it was really cool to see Thrall's wife. We ain't seen her in a minute. You know, welcome back to the game. But it always was, like, funny to me that she managed to kidnap, like, four powerhouses. Like, I know Bane and Anduin aren't on Jaina and Thrall's level yet. Like, they'll get there, but the fact that she was able to kidnap all four of them, and this also is our clues to how time works in Shadowlands, because when we go and do the starting stuff with them, they're like, we've, you know, escaped hundreds of times, and it's like, what happened? Like, I want to know why she kidnapped them. I know she kidnapped them, like, low-key out of spite, but I can't wait to get into the story, like, the for real, because I don't think the jailer would be like, you know what, Sylvanas, you want to be petty? Go be petty. And she's like, thank you. I want to see why. Like, I feel like they might be a good tap of anima, because anima is really based off of your experiences and everything you've gone through in life. And who has more experiences than, like, Jaina and Thrall and Anduin? Like, Bane, you know, I might be able to, like, argue that one a little bit, but I mean, at the same time, he's gone through a lot, especially in the last couple of years with his father passing and becoming, you know, leader of the Tauren and pretty much taking, like, the front running position of the Horde and BFA. We had Thrall around, but, like, really, we can say Bane was the driving force behind this particular coup. Like, before, you could say Vol'jin was the leader of the rebellion when Garrosh was the leader. But Sylvanas, we can all say Bane was responsible for this one. And it was really nice to actually see him take a forefront and show us that he's not just Karen Light. I mean, I think he still is kind of Karen Light, but there's more to him. There's an honor in Bane that I've always liked, and I see that same thing in Anduin. And it's one thing about the two of them that I always really, really liked, because there's an honor and a humility there. And that makes them really likable characters, and it actually makes them stand out against the more assured leaders of the Horde and Alliance. Like, when they have the meetings, you can see, like, Bane and Anduin are second-guessing themselves, because for the longest time, they were the youngest ones, and Anduin specifically, I like seeing him question his rule, like, am I doing the right thing? Should I be like this? Because he isn't his father, and he is more of a peacemaker, and he will always choose the peaceful route. But being a leader of a warring nation, sometimes you can't always have peace. And, like, I'm gonna get into this when I talk about the armistice, but honestly, with all this going down, I think Bane should have been the war chief. I think they should have continued the war chief. And them, I'll get into it because I want to talk about that because I'm going to go off. Like, I'm about to pop off on that in a minute. But to see Gen was pissed. And now I know, as somebody who plays on both factions, I have character on Alliance and I got a character on Horde. I cannot wait to see Gen go off during Shadowlands trying to find Anduin, because you have a feeling where Gen is very much a complicated character. I like Gen, don't get me wrong. But where he is pissy about a lot of stuff, you can see that he also acts like a father to Anduin. Like, he feels like it's up to him to take that role of Varian, where I don't think Anduin wants him to, so to speak. I think that role shouldn't have been Gen's, because he's so argumentative with him. I feel like Velen should have came in and took that role. And I know Gen kind of lives around Stormwind. He lives very close, so therefore he is there a lot of the time. But it feels like they wanted somebody who was similar to Varian in a very high position, because Anduin's not going to be the one to be like, "They hit us, let's hit them back harder." He's going to be like, "They hit us, let's figure out why, and then we'll handle it from there." Where again, it's like, kill him. Like, no, kill him. Hoard in our position. No. I see red. They're about to see red. Like, that's how Gen works. And I like him. I have no issue with his warmongering ways. I quite like Gen. I am quite afraid of Gen whenever I have to go like into anything. Like when we had to do the escape from Stormwind cinematic, and they were like, "Gen, Greyman," I'm like, "Oh shit, can we run? Do I have to fight him?" Because he has no chill. It's like Matthias Shaw. I ain't fucking with Gen or Matthias. The two of them, I will be like, "Oh God." I like literally had the hardest time finishing that quest because of Gen's ass. But I like him. He's a good character. He's good for what he's supposed to be there for. He's supposed to be the contrasting view to Anduin. And it works. You have somebody who's a lot more calm like Anduin. And you have two people like Matthias, who is very he plays his cards close to his chest, but you can see where he has contrasting views to Anduin. But then you have Gen, who is very verbal about things. And right now, I'm expecting it to happen soon. I've been expecting it to have a whole expansion where the Alliance goes to shit, because they are giving their leader like no credit. Like, Anduin could be like, "I'm trying so hard for you motherfuckers," and they're like, "Not enough." And like, he's like in his 20s, ready to drink. I feel bad for Anduin, but then I don't, because he really needs to put his foot down. He really needs to be like, "Hey, I'm the leader. Y'all are my subordinates." And I know, and it's not like the Horde where they're all like equal rule. They've bended a knee. They have pretty much deferred to the fact that Anduin is king of the Alliance. So therefore, y'all have to listen to him. So like at the end of BFA, when they all walked out, they lucky. Like, I'm be petty. I'd be like, "Okay, behead them all." Like, but their leaders, I don't care. They pretty much, no. I'm the queen of the Alliance, and I will have order. Like, Anduin needs to grow some balls, I swear. I wish he would. I don't want him to be like Varian. But I mean, there was good to Varian. I'm not gonna say Varian was a total dick. He was sometimes, but he wasn't all the time. He was willing to listen to peace. But you can tell that they respected Varian. And I know respect is something you earn and it's not given, but it's not like Anduin just walked in and expected them to respect them. He has done everything within his power to get them to earn that respect. And because of shit Sylvanas has done, and because he's trying to find the peaceful way out, they're pretty much turning their noses up at him. And I think it's pretty much bullshit at this point. Like, you're blaming him for something he did not do, nor did he have the control to do. Yes, he did not kill her, but at the same time, when was he going? Like, Gen, it was closer to killing Sylvanas more than anything. And when literally brought peace between the Alliance and the Horde, and they're over here like, no. What made peace with two warring factions? Fuck you. Like, she burnt down Teldrassil. It's like, okay, great. Let's work together with the Horde, because they're pissed at her too. And we can come together and we can all take turns kicking Sylvanas' ass. And it's like, no, we want her by ourselves. And it's like, really? Like, I literally picture after that meeting where the Alliance walked out, Anduin went back to his quarters, popped open a keg, and just started drinking. Like, it's just, I feel so bad. Like, he called up Raytheon and they just got drunk and shit in the Stormwind barracks or something. Just couldn't take it. Just couldn't take it that day. But, I mean, that's just what I thought. I mean, it's not much to say about the abduction itself. It happened. It was quick. It was very quick cinematic. Like, 5 minutes. 4 or 5 minutes. So, I'm never going to be able to talk long about a 4 or 5 minute thing. So, wow. Let's get to the bullshit on the Horde side. When I say that the armistice is a load of bullshit, okay, the armistice itself is not bullshit. It's what came of it. I know that there had to be peace talks. I know that you can't always have the Horde and Alliance fighting. Blizzard tries. Activision tries, let's be honest. Activision tries every game to recreate that Horde versus Alliance dynamic. And while that is the core of the game, we have worked together way too much as Horde and Alliance players to save the world to actively be this hostile towards each other. It's like, did Legion happen? Did Woad happen? Like, BFA came right after Legion, after we literally band together to stop the invasion of the Burning Legion. And it's like, it happened, and then we're like, fuck you, Alliance, fuck you, Horde. So it's like, and I get that they had to make Sylvanas do an extreme thing to cause that, because you can't just like, oh, the Horde invaded Red Ridge Mountains. Like, it's Red Ridge Mountain, nobody cares. So, which is funny, because you'd think the Blood Elves would be a little bit more salty about this alliance because of what happened back in Dalaran and Darnassus and all that. So, when I think about what they go through, how they have to thread together some loose-ended story to make the Alliance and the Horde fight each other, I get why the armistice was put in place. However, what I don't get is why we could not have a war chief on the Horde side. And don't give me that BS about there's no war, so we don't need a war chief. It is literally just a title. And at the same thing, you have a war council. And I know they're like, it's just a council. It's a war council. They are there from different parts. Like, it's not even like you have just a council of the orcs. You have a war council. You have a council of military powers that come together and make decisions for the group. It was dumb. Especially because BFA pretty much was building up Bane to take over. Like, if you don't see the parallels between Bane and Fulgin, then I don't see how you couldn't see it. I mean, Bane was one of the front runners leading the whole Sylvanas rebellion. And this was actually the first time we got to choose which side we wanted to be on. Did you want to rebel or did you want to stay loyalist? And honestly, loyalists got screwed. I'm sorry. I mean, I know y'all don't give a shit about what happened to Sourfang, but I know they weren't going to make Thrall war chief because they spent the whole expansion with Thrall telling us, I'm not going to be war chief. I'm not going to be war chief. Hey, Lothmar, did I tell you? I'm not going to be war chief. Like, we get it, Thrall. We get it. You can be an advisor. But then he still ended up on the war council. Like, did Blizzard just not want to name a war chief? Like, when Vol'jin became war chief at the end of MOP, it was because he took the initiative and started the rebellion against Garrosh. And because he saw what was best for the Horde and took action. The same can be said for Bane. He saw what Sylvanas was doing. And while the entirety of the Horde thought it was crazy, none of them spoke up out of fear. Bane put himself and his family at risk because he has a wife and child. And took the lead and did what he thought was right. He didn't think it was right to pretty much make Derek Proudmoore a
ticking time bomb. He didn't think it was right, so he, with the player's help, decided that they were going to set him free. He didn't think that anything Sylvanas did was ethical or right, because Bane has honor and morals, and he has standards, and he's not going to sit here and do just whatever because he wants to get one up on the Alliance. So to say that somebody that honorable and that level-headed and thinks of the Horde as a whole is unworthy to become War Chief is slap in the face. Look, I get y'all don't like Torrens. It's cool. Don't like Torrens. I don't play as Torrens. I play as Blood Elves half the time. But I'll tell you real quick, Lothmar wouldn't have been a good choice for War Chief. He's fickle. Blood Elves are so damn fickle. They're ready to leave the Horde. Like, incidentally, Jaina made the Blood Elves, like, Horde superfans, because they were like, at least you didn't blow us up, so. Well, we blew you up. At least you didn't commit genocide on us at that point, because Garrosh was very close. But Lothmar wouldn't have been a good choice, because he thinks about what's good for the Blood Elves, not necessarily what's good for the Horde. So, for him to be... But then again, like, if he was made War Chief, I would think that he would change that mindset, because now he's leader of the Horde. But I also think, like, Lothmar would cuss you out if you voted him as War Chief, because he doesn't even like being regent. He's like, I hate this job. So I would assume him becoming War Chief would be, like, a living hell for him. And everybody else was just too young. Like, legitimately, the only... members of council that we have that has been there for a long period of time is Bane, who's only been there since Cataclysm, Lothmar, and Thrall. Everybody else is considered youngsters, technically, only in, well, no, Gallywix is gone. He dipped. So we have a new goblin leader. And for the three of them, they would be the obvious options to become War Chief. And Thrall said he wasn't going to do it anymore, so that leaves Lothmar and Bane. And Lothmar would abdicate, so that leaves Bane. Why didn't you just make Bane the War Chief? He did so much in BFA. He literally almost got killed for our asses, and we couldn't even make him War Chief? We are so damn ungrateful. I think the Horde should be a democracy, like we'd vote. Like, they have, like, a special event, like, vote for your War Chief. And I'm pretty sure, knowing that some trolls on WoW would, like, have some ridiculous-ass write-ins. Like, my nuts would be the War Chief or something, and Activision have to make a character. And I bet you'd be a goblin. But, I don't know, I always thought that the War Council thing was stupid. I think it was, like, lazy. Instead of, like... giving the obvious choice. Like, I don't get why people, like, want to subvert expectations and think, like, picking the obvious choice is a bad thing. The obvious choice was Bane. They screwed him over. And I think it would also be a different pace, because every War Chief brings something different. Thrall was more of a warrior, and then you had Vol'jin, who was a little more laid back, and you had Sylvanas, who was crazy. So, it'd be nice to have a hippie as our War Chief. Well, not hippie, he's Native American by all accounts, but it would be nice, because it would be a different kind of flow. And I don't think, like, it would make him weaker, because when push come to shove, Bane is a boss in a battle. Like, when you did that quest line where you're saving Derek, Bane, you know, he came through in a pinch. So I just, Blizzard's stupid. They never do what we want. All in all, I liked the little cinematic. I know I went on a tangent about a few things. But again, it was like a 4 to 5 minute thing that really just showed people getting kidnapped. And I couldn't really go in depth and tell you everything I thought about it. It wasn't that deep. I made it more deep than it actually was. Doing that a lot lately. But I know Shadowlands has been pushed back. I haven't played the pre-patch event because I need to buy game time. But I still can't wait to play Shadowlands. I heard people say that the pre-patch isn't that good. So, live and you learn, I guess. I know that it's, like, weird. I also want to thank the influx of viewers here lately on my last WoW podcast. Like, I'm not gonna be a WoW thing. If you want WoW content, leave a voice message. Let me know what you think about all this shit. Leave a voice message and I will play it on my next episode that I talk about WoW. Which, depending on when we get new information, we'll see. Hopefully I can finish up an episode about the Paris Hilton documentary. That just depends on my mood and how quick I can get it done. But thank you for watching, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye.